This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His blessings. We praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises, blessings and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, blessings and safety be upon you all. I welcome you all to episode 2 of our Dhul Hijjah series together, dedicated to the Hajj and the family, and brought to you courtesy of the Islamic Council of Europe. Remember, our series is discussing common foundations between the Hajj, the days of Hajj, the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the family unit as taught to us in the teachings and da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Episode 1 was dedicated to the importance of the fitrah, this natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us upon. It's one of tawheed and belief in one Allah, and not just belief in Him being one, but in Him being one in His worship as well, and in His names and attributes as well. And in reality, that is entirely what the Hajj represents. And we discussed this from the perspective of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a young person, and shared some examples as he grew older, promising that we will zoom into other examples from his life, and also zoom into particular aspects in relation to members of his household throughout our series together, inshallah, that will further prove, subhanallah, how massive the fitrah is, and being true to it is in ensuring that we have amazing family, amazing families, amazing Muslim households. And the more Muslim households we have that are transformed and amazing, then no doubt this will lead to amazing transformed societies as well. Now, naturally, when we discuss the importance of the fitrah and each member of the household being true to the fitrah, this brings us to the discussion of episode 2, which is the next discussion after we discuss the fitrah, and that is the importance of roles. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when we look at the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and remember, as we said in episode 1, this family really was the means of the Hajj that we have today, because many of the practices in the Hajj stem from actual real life circumstances that Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family found himself in, and them being true to their fitrah, being true to the mandates of Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved how they managed themselves in those circumstances and situations, that it became part and parcel of the pilgrimage, acts that will be done till the day of Qiyamah, subhanallah. When we look at the family household of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see, subhanallah, how every unit of this family remained true to the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon them. And when I say true to the role, I mean they remained in that role and they excelled in that role. So we see the father not trying to be the mother not trying to be the father, the son not trying to be the father, the parent not trying to be the child, and vice versa, and so on and so forth. Everyone understood their role, they understood their place, and that is why, despite the turbulence, really, the trials and tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused to descend upon this family, we find, subhanallah, they came through every circumstance with flying colors. Subhanallah, they passed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such an amazing way. Let's look at, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and him being tested after wanting for so long to have a child. And just to to refresh our memories, Ibrahim alayhi salam, after his travels, after leaving Babylon and the city of his father, he began developing a realization that, subhanallah, you know what, we don't have people who worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he literally began feeling as if he and his wife Sarah and Hajar, and obviously Lut, who was young and also from Babylon, and Lut was the one who left with Ibrahim alayhi salam when Ibrahim left his people, and Lut went on to become a prophet. But focusing on Ibrahim and his family, Ibrahim alayhi salam, begins to feel that subhanallah, there's no one on earth who worships one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala besides him. And then he starts yearning to have a child, because he feels as a strategy, then, you know, progeny would be the next step. Progeny who he would teach Tawheed to, and they would teach Tawheed to, and this would start a movement of those who worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would have enough people to spread across the lands and teach others the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. For a long, long time, Allah didn't grant him this child until Ibrahim was 90 years of age. According to some of the scholars of tafsir, Allah blesses him with Ismail alayhi salam. So this was, subhanallah, you can imagine the joy in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we must never ever forget he was a human being. Sarah was a human being. Hajar was a human being. Ismail was a human being. They were human beings. They felt emotions like you and I. You and I feel emotions. They felt hunger. They felt thirst. They felt pain. They went through life with the human nature that you and I also go through life with. So you can imagine the joy in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam for his son. But then, as some of the historians state, when Ismail reached just around the age of 2, just when it becomes fun, right? You start having fun with your newborn, with your firstborn, subhanallah, because they're weaned off needing, or they're on the way out of needing their mother's milk. They're not sleeping so much. They're more active and interactive. And now they can spend more time with the father. At this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Ibrahim alayhi salam to take Ismail and his mother Hajar and leave them literally in the middle of nowhere. Literally, brothers and sisters in Islam. Where Ibrahim left Hajar and Ismail, there was nothing there besides two hilltops known as Safa and Marwa. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? He remained true to his fitrah and executed his role within that household perfectly as a result. He was a father, he was a husband, he was responsible in that home, and he took charge for the sake of Allah, and he placed his wife and his son on a mount, and whatever provisions he had with him for them, he placed it with them, and immediately he starts walking to the middle of nowhere. There was no GPS those days, so nobody knew, nobody could peek. You know, when you're trying to surprise the family sometimes and you're going on a road trip, they can actually look at your phone or on the GPS device and figure out where they're going. There was nothing of the sorts back then. He was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanallah, he played his role well. But along with him, Hajar played her role well. We don't see her questioning him. We don't see her throwing a tantrum. We don't see her demanding that she knows. We don't see her playing the right card. She knows that I am a wife in this household, I'm a mother to my child, I am a homemaker, and I am important in my own capacity. And right now what my husband is doing, that is his capacity. Let him focus on managing his affairs, and I will focus on managing my affairs in terms of being a dutiful mother to my son, taking care of my son in terms of this journey that I'm finding myself on. I didn't opt for it, I wasn't asked about it, but I'm on it based on my husband's instruction, and no doubt he knows what is good for me. I trust him, and also I'm going to be a pleasant wife to my husband. I'm not going to make the difficult journey even more difficult by being rebellious or being selfish and making an issue just because I didn't get it my way, subhanallah. Right? So we need to zoom into this because it's phenomenal, right? If you compare that act to a similar act today where a husband places his wife in a vehicle with total silence, no communication, bags are packed, and he starts driving off in a direction that is foreign to his wife, what do you think will happen? Right? So we see this from Hajar alayhi salam. And then when he finally gets there, after this distance spanning such a long time, and he leaves them in the middle of nowhere, and there's no conversation taking place. There's many reasons why no conversation took place. I mean, one reason I can think about is the fact that this was already difficult for him, right? If he was to speak to his wife and it would cause him to look at his son even more, what is more difficult will become even more difficult. What is so difficult will become even more difficult, right? So he's managing the circumstance, he's managing the situation, he is also protecting his wife from engaging in a conversation that might make her disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can't guarantee how that conversation will go, how she will respond to it, how she will react to the shock of the situation that has just fallen upon her, subhanallah. So he makes his way across away, and she calls out to him and says, are you leaving us here? And subhanAllah, this is the only time we have a voice of Hajar throughout this journey appearing in the sources of our history. It's phenomenal that nowhere throughout this journey do we see her voice except here. And she had a right to ask as a wife. She had a right to ask as a mother. Because if we're being left, what about this child? What about the provisions? How long are you going to leave us for? But she didn't get into the details. She said, are you leaving us here? And Ibrahim finds it difficult to respond. She asks for a second time, the same response she gets from her husband, which is one of no response. And the third time she says, did Allah command you to leave us here? And he gestures, alayhi salam, again. You can only imagine, he doesn't want to turn back and see her. He's going to miss her and see his child, who no doubt he asked Allah for decades to have, subhanallah. And now he has to leave him. He gestures, and she understands from this that this is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah brings us to it, Allah will take us through it. It is Allah who protects us, not my husband. And if Allah has instructed him, then he's only doing what he's supposed to do as the man of the house. As the man of the house, I expect him to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm not going to kick up a fuss. I'm not going to claim that I don't love my husband. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing what I expect him to do. If anything, if he didn't do this after Allah instructed him, then I would kick up a fuss. Now, subhanallah, this is when you're true to your fitrah. And now we can see the connection between your role in the family unit and your fitrah. And we've spoken about this fitrah and its connectivity to the hajj. And we've spoken about the connectivity of the household of Ibrahim alayhi salam to the Hajj. And thus our series, brothers and sisters in Islam, the Hajj and the family, the common foundations between the two, subhanallah. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam goes and Hajar alayhi salam remains, and we don't see ever her complaining again. Her voice goes into silence after the departure of Ibrahim. We see nothing in the books of history of her voice in terms of complaints, in terms of despair, in terms of losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She knows that she has to be a mother in this circumstance, and also to an extent the father, because she is alone with her son. And her provisions are becoming finished, so what does she do? Her husband isn't available. In the absence of the husband, then I am responsible. What does she do? She takes the means. Remaining true to her fitrah, which is allowing her to excel in her role as a mother and her role as a wife. What she did was nothing less of what Ibrahim alayhi salam was expecting of her. Subhanallah alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Right? You could also backtrack this and say Ibrahim alayhi salam felt solace in his heart that he was leaving his son with a woman that he trusted to do the right thing, to be true to her role, which is connected to her fitrah, and do that which would be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rest is history, brothers and sisters in Islam, because we know that when the provisions ended, she went to Safa and she climbed that mountain, even though for days she didn't see anybody. She didn't hear of any caravans coming through. She didn't even experience signs of civilization passing through this vicinity. And she climbs up to look and she sees nothing. Does she give up? No. She comes down and starts walking towards Marwa. But when she's getting to Marwa, she goes into this valley, a small valley, and this prevents her from seeing her son, who she's left at this place near where you and I near the vicinity of the Kaaba today, right? So she's going through this valley, and the mother instincts takes over, that she knows my son is safe. She knows no one can come take my son. We've been here for a while. Nothing passes this place. No animal, no human being, no bird, no nothing. But subhanAllah, the mother instincts causes her to run for the sake of Allah, so she can get to the other side and cool her heart and appease her heart, that she can see her son again as she makes her way to Marwa. And she does this for a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time, and a sixth time, and then on the seventh time, subhanAllah, as she gets to Marwa, we learn that she hears a sound near her son, which draws her attention in completion, makes her forget, you can imagine, what she's trying to do to look for civilization and maybe get some help in getting some food, in getting some water. Why? Because subhanAllah, a mother, when she's truly a mother, she's so connected to her child, that bond is one that cannot be interrupted. And she turns around to see an angel either digging his heel or his wing into the ground. The narrator of the narration that reveals to us the sitting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Sahaba, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba the story of the family of Ibrahim. He says that he's doubtful. He can't remember whether the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said heel or wing, and then this water starts gushing out, and she runs, and subhanallah, she builds a barrier around it so that it doesn't flow, it remains in its place as a well as we have it today. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Hajar. Subhanallah, if she didn't do what she did, then the Zamzam would be a flowing, pure river. Subhanallah. So brothers and sisters in Islam, I mean, look how important the well of Zamzam is to you and me. Look how great the well of Zamzam is to you and me. And subhanallah, look where it started. And look when Allah chose for it to come about. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, look how great the act of Sa'i is. It's part of Umrah, it's part of Hajj. And where does that come about from? It comes from the act of Hajar, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved, that she didn't complain, but she acted and she walked and she ran only to take the means true to her fitrah, playing her role with excellence as a mother and a wife. Allah loved this and made this an act till the day of Qiyamah. This brings us to the end of this episode. I promise you there's so much to say, but we do have to end. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Join me again for further episodes as we explore these ideas, these common foundations between the Hajj and the family unit. Until then, Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد